From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
You know what God is saying? If you're going to stay healthy, you got to learn how to forget. Yeah, but someone betrayed you. Just forget it. Forget it. You've got tomorrow, and I've called you to follow me, not brood over what he did. Now get on with it. In fact, if we're going to be more like the Lord, we must learn to forget. Is it easy? No, but you must learn to forget. I call it divine dementia. Learn to forget, because even God forgets.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Today, part two of a message we began yesterday, a message entitled The Promise of Healing. Later on the program, we'll hear a testimony of a real work in progress from one of the members of New Hope. But right now, Pastor Wayne with the message, The Promise of Healing.
And one of my favorites is Malachi 4:2 in the King James. Let's read it. Go. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Isn't that great? And another one, Jeremiah 17:14. Go. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are my praise. You need to know the promises of God's healing, because how are we going to stand on the promises if we don't know the promises? And that's what this whole series is about. Know the promises. Exodus 15:26. This is, if you will give earnest heed to the commandments of God, give ear to my statutes and keep my ordinances, then I will put none of these diseases that I put on the Egyptians onto you. For I, the Lord, am your healer. God talks about that in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then shall I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. You see, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, it talks about the gift of healing. In the book of Revelation, it says there's a tree that has the healing for the nations. In Mark 16:18, it says you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. James 5:16 says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. They'll anoint him with oil. They'll pray over him. And the prayer offered in faith shall restore the one that is sick. And if he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. There's so many promises. And if you take a look at just the way God created his creation, did you know that he actually infused into our very DNA healing? Except for like a great huge accident or a terrible sickness, if you think about it, right now your body is healing. It's actually designed to heal. You've got your white blood cells working against stuff that may have encroached your body. Right now, without you realizing, you're healing. You work out real hard or you tear some muscles. When you're sleeping, guess what your muscles are doing? Healing. They're repairing themselves. God creates. And when he creates, that's what goes into it, because the Bible says his name is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. So when God touches something, there is a healing process in motion. Now, he doesn't heal just one way. There are many different ways. So you have to understand that. But if you know the promises of God, you'll be able to stand on the promises of God. One of the ways is by getting 3x5 cards, and I still do this, and on one side of the 3x5 card, I put the scripture, and I flip it over, and I put the reference on the back, and you got to keep it near you. So I had it in my pocket a lot, and I would memorize them. So as I'm driving, I'll start to quote James 1:2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces. See, if you don't have it near you, you don't know what it says, and you're done. But if you got it near you, it produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Okay, I got it. You see, you got to have it near you. And if you have it near you, you got it. It'll be quick on your lips, and you can stand on the promises of God. I used to be, when in Bible college, there was a train track that, you know, you have those arms come down and go ding, 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 ding. And 3 minutes just feels like forever waiting for those trains. So I used to get so mad at these trains, you know, and it'd be going by, ding-ding, 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 ding-ding. And, oh, I hate this train. Get out of my way. Get out. And people would wait and get out of there. Out of there. Until I started memorizing scripture, and the Lord said, redeem the time, for the days are evil, says in Ephesians. Do not be foolish, be wise, and make the most of your time, for the days are evil. So he said to me, when you get to one of these train things and the things come down, the arms come down and those lights start blinking, see how many scriptures you can memorize. Redeem that. I thought, yeah, I'll try that. So it goes ding, 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 ding. And I try to get three or four memorized during that time. And I, drive off. You got to redeem the time. So you can actually do that. Well, you say, well, where do we get this kind of learn the promises? Well, would you write in your bullet there, read God's word daily. Read God's word. How many of us have Bibles but we never read them? And because it's in the word of God that you will find faith necessary to make your heart open to the healing promises of God. Did you know that if you have faith for healing, it becomes more and more obvious in your life? It's sort of like we're not waiting on God, he's waiting on us to have faith for healing. Let's read what it says here in Acts 14:9. You'll see. Go. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze upon him, had seen that he had faith to be made well. Underline those words. Did you know that Paul saw that person and he thought, that guy's got faith to be made well? What? That's right. Well, where do you get this kind of faith? Real easy. Let's read the next one. Go. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of... Where do you get faith? Hearing. Hearing from the word of Christ. So as we read the Bible, whose word is it? It is God's word. So if this is God's word, who is speaking to me? God. So where am I going to get faith? By listening to his word. Faith cometh by hearing. If you don't hear anything about healing, you won't have faith for healing. But if you're constantly reading God's word and seeing how he heals the leper, heals the man that was blind, heals the lame, and the Lord gives us promises for healing, pretty soon after hearing the word of Christ, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Now you have faith to be made well. And when that time comes, you'll be able to stand on the promises of God, quote it, and there's something inside of you that just leaps. So God says, begin to read his word daily. Then what'll happen is, would you write in number two? It'll prepare your life for healing. Prepare your life for healing. God wants my life prepared for healing and get everything out of the way that impedes that, because he actually created you to heal. That's how he has created us. That's just his creative power. That's his personality, Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that heals. So when he creates us in his image, we're designed to be a people who are healed. But things can come in to impede that healing. What's one? Let's read and we'll find out. Go. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Psalm 66:18. Huh? That's right. Wickedness in my heart. In fact, he says in Proverbs 3:8, let's read the next one. Go. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Why? It will be healing to your body. Would you underline that? It will be healing to your body. You know what he's saying? You cannot do well with unconfessed sin in your life. You can't do well. And in fact, let me give you the biggest detriment to healing. Bitterness. Bitterness is the greatest destructive power against healing. Someone once said it this way, Wayne, bitterness will always destroy the container it's held in much sooner than upon whom it's poured. Bitterness is a toxic acid, and we've got to be able to get rid of that. I think the best is someone said this to me, said, Wayne, bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Isn't that true? We think, well, you're going to die. Die. and bitterness destroys us from the inside out. We've got to be able to let things go. Yeah, but he was wrong. Yeah, it's all right. He's wrong. Let him take care of that. Sin will destroy him if he doesn't repent of it. But as for you, you can't keep bitterness because two going down doesn't make it right. It destroys your life. In fact, James 5:16, let's read this together. Go. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Why? So that you may be healed. Oh. They even found this out to be true even in secular settings. Recently, Lisa Berkman at the University of California made an intensive study of 7,000 people over 9 years. You know what she and her team found out? She found out that people with weak social ties that had problems with people all the time had a 2 to 5 times higher death rate than those who had strong, peaceful relationships. Then the findings held true regardless of whether a person smoked or drank or exercised or jogged or were overweight. Didn't matter. What they found was living with stressful or broken relationships caused the person to have a higher degree of percentage to die prematurely. So it's like what she was saying is it's not so, you know, living a long time is not so much determined by what you eat, but by what eats you. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great writer, had a daughter that was away from home attending school. And in corresponding with her famous father, she made it clear to him one day that she was brooding over a past mistake that really left her with a troubled conscience. So her dad writes and says, "My dear daughter, finish every day and be done with it. You have done what you could. Certainly some blunders and absurdities have crept in, but get rid of them and forget them as soon as you can, because tomorrow's a new day. And you must never encumber its potentialities with the dread of the past. Do not waste a moment of today on the rottenness of yesterday." Isn't that true? You know what God is saying? If you're going to stay healthy, you got to learn how to forget. Yeah, but someone betrayed me. Just forget it. Forget it. You've got tomorrow. And I've called you to follow me, not brood over what he did. I've called you to fulfill my purposes, not to Sherlock and judge others. Now get on with it. In fact, if we're going to be more like the Lord, we must learn to forget. Is it easy? No, but you must learn to forget. I call it divine dementia. I gotta learn to forget. Because even God forgets. The Bible says when we repent of our sins, you know what he does? He takes our sins and throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. That's right. And he remembers them no more. Do you think he chooses to do that? Yes, he chooses. He chooses to forget. And if I'm going to be more like the Lord, I've got to choose to forget. Just forgive him. Say, "Lord, doesn't know what he's doing. Forget it and move on." Do I hold it against him? I can't. You know why? Because I love my God too much and I want to be a part of the promises of healing. And if I hold bitterness in my heart, it messes the miracles up in my life. I love God's miracles too much to stay bitter. It's all about the kingdom of God. I choose to forget. Why? Because I want to be a part of the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. And every time I make that choice to forget, I'm more part of the kingdom of God. And the more I hold on to something, I become more part of the kingdom of this world. You choose which one you want to enter into. And I know God forgets by choice, and I want to be more and more like him. So choose to do that and get rid of bitterness, because it's one of the most destructive things against healing. So what do? Prepare your life by keeping your heart clear. Keep short accounts. And keep contending for healing. Oh yes, get the best medical help possible. And God heals in different ways. Keep your relationships right. And then what? And then what do you do in the meantime, Wayne? Here it is. Pray. Would you write to number 3? Pray, but pray with thanksgiving. Pray, but pray with thanksgiving. Well, you say, why do you keep a heart of thanksgiving when you pray? Why is it so important? Because it's so easy to get discouraged. And once your spirit starts to flag, listen, once your spirit starts to flag, everything starts to drain. You can't let your spirit drop. Everybody knows you can tell when people in the hospital give up their spirit or will to live. Everything goes south. Isn't that right? All their vital signs start to collapse. But the Bible says, keep your spirit strong. Even though my body may still be healing in that process and be frail, keep your spirit victorious. Say, it's all right. I'm still healing up. I'm still contending for healing. But my spirit's not sick. My body might, but my spirit ain't. Let's read what the scripture says in Proverbs 18. Go. The spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but a broken spirit, who can bear? You see, it says a man's spirit can endure or outlast his healing process, even if it's gradual. Or even the Lord says, my grace is sufficient. But if you break, if your spirit is broken, you can't bear anything. You keep it strong. And that's why he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, go, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What is God is saying here? In everything, give thanks. This is God's will. What? What happened? No, no. You know what God's will is? That in everything, give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. No, not necessarily the circumstance that happened, because sometimes we'll run into a wall, run into some problems. God would love to, for you to have averted that. Missed that, gone around that, circumvented that. But what is God's will when we smash into the wall? In everything, give thanks. Why? Keep your spirit up. Because if your spirit flags, you're in trouble. Because a broken spirit, who can bear? You got to be able to keep that spirit strong. And then contend for healing. Let's read what it says here in James 5. Go. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. Oh, God is saying, pray, but keep a strong spirit. Continue to contend. Don't sit in discouragement over what you don't have. Start with what you have. You see, even if you all you have is a willing spirit and a good attitude, that that's where you start. How many of us have seen people, regardless of their state, even though they were weak, they were strong? We've had him here a couple of times. His name is Charlie Wiedemeyer. He's up here quadriplegic on a wheelchair with a breathing machine. He can't even breathe on his own. He can't even talk. But his dear wife, Lucy, interprets for him, reads his lips, and he has impacted literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Is he strong in body? No. He's vibrant in spirit. It's your spirit ultimately that's going to impact others. And my goal in life is not that God just keep giving me a healthy body. No, sooner or later, we're all going to diminish as we come closer to heaven's door. But what will impact people is a dynamic spirit that's victorious. You've heard of Johnny Erickson Tata. She's a quadriplegic. She's in the wheelchair, but she paints with a brush in her teeth. And she has impacted thousands and thousands of people. It's your spirit. And so that's why the Lord says, even while you're praying for healing, pray, but pray with thanksgiving. Oh, keep your spirit strong. I remember a dear Brunhilde Van Clausen was her name. Her and her husband came through the concentration camp of the Nazis during the Holocaust era. And they survived that time. But so much stress on her husband that every follicle dried up and he has no hair, not even eyelashes, everything because of the stress of the concentration camps. And we called her Bruni or Brunhilde. She was in the hospital dying. And I loved them so much. They were the most precious people. And as I was driving, because I got a call, Bruni's in the hospital, Wayne. She's asked if you would come to pray for her. I said, oh, God. So I remember driving to the hospital saying, oh, God, what do I do? What do I tell her? Because she was dying. What do I tell her? I said, the only thing I know in that time was just starting in ministry and still in Bible college. I said, Lord, the only scripture I know is Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good to those who love him and call according to his purpose. But that sounds so trite. You go to someone that's gone through the Holocaust, they're dying, say, God works all things together for good. I'm sure. Oh, no, God, I'm driving. Oh, God, give me another promise, something. So I'm going up to her hospital room, and I'm just so defeated. I just don't know what to say. And I walk in there, and she's there hooked up to machines. Oh, no, I can't say all things work together for good. Oh, no. And I stood by her bed for the longest time, and she opened up her eyes, tubes coming all out. And she looked, I said, Bruni, I'm so sorry. She looked up and she said, it's all right, she said in her German accent. She said, all things work together for good. And you know, when I left, I thought, oh God, she ministered to me. Even though in her weak state, she ministered to me. Keep your spirit strong. Contend for healing. And the promises of God will find you, because you've prepared your life for healing. And even though you're in the process of that, your spirit will be used by God to impact a needy world. Believe in the promises of God. Learn them. Establish them deep in your heart. But keep your spirit strong, and the promises of God will find you. For the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely his. When your heart is completely his, you don't have to look far for him. He's looking for you. Amen. Let's be those people. Let's stand together. You may be here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, there's some stuff in my life I need to get rid of then, huh? I got to shovel some of that stuff out. Because there's some bitterness on the inside of me, and I'm having a hard time forgetting. And see, forgetting isn't something that happens naturally. You must choose to do that, even as the Lord chooses to forget our sins that we bring to him. I think it's time for us who, as it were, just right now, come to the cross and leave here that bitterness, some of the stuff that you've been carrying. So when you walk out, you walk out lighter than when you arrive. Leave that stuff at the cross. I want to pray for you, but I need you to cooperate with this prayer, that you will leave that burden at the foot of the cross and give the Lord all your heart, so that you can love him, not with just a partial heart, because half of it's being taken up in this bitterness, not just with a quarter or three quarters or 99%, but Lord, I give you all my heart. I love you with all my heart. You must love the miracles of God happening in your life so much that you can't afford to keep bitterness. You can't afford to be offended. I got to keep myself free for the promises of God. So I've got to let that go, because I love my God too much to hang on to it. Let's be a people that'll leave it at the foot of the cross. Can you say amen to that? Let's bow our heads. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the cross. I come to you and lay down my burdens, my bitternesses, my anger, the things that I hold against people, even the times I've been betrayed, my offenses. I leave it at the foot of the cross, and I will leave this place without them. Cover them with the blood of Christ. Set me free, so that I might prepare my life for the promises of God, for the healing of God. I believe. Help my unbelief. Give me a great faith. Help me by your word to stand on the promises. In Jesus' name I pray. I am ready to be healed. I am ready to be healed. I am ready to be healed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go ahead and thank the Lord, would you?
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Promise of Healing by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Now, once again, here is Pastor Wayne with a promise to take you through your day.
Well, I don't know about you, but my Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, my God, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means what he said, he is still saying. And what he did, he is still doing. The healer is in the house. The healer is in the house. Isn't that right? Don't get me going. I'm going to start preaching right now.
For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.